Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Whatever you do, don't ask Christy Nome to dog sit. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. So, I feel like we need to talk about Christy Nome for just a moment here. And look, I'm not a farmer. I do enjoy beef and, farm raised, and I love all that. I go to the farmer's market. And in all the years that I've been going to the farmer's market, I've never heard any of the farmers just, kicking back, talking about life on the farm and shooting a dog. I maybe that happens. I don't know. But anyway, Christy Nome is catching all you know what for this story that sort of unfolded over the weekend of her own doing, mind you. So this is not some sort of a gotcha piece of journalism. She actually wrote about this in her upcoming memoir. And a couple of things, and I don't know what it is with Republicans and dogs, but here's the deal. Americans love dogs. Cats, not so much. But dogs, they love dogs. And I mean, it's like puppies. I mean, they watch the videos on the Instagram and the TikTok, and there's always, you never really see any bad dog stories, right? It's like everybody is always loving the dogs, and whenever there's a dog story, it doesn't matter who you are. You could be the meanest of the mean. You will get teary-eyed if you watch a sweet little dog video. That's just the way that's our DNA. Americans love their dogs. Man's best friend. So when you've got a potential vice presidential running mate writing about how she killed man's best friend, things can go a little squirrely. And in this case, everybody's going after Christy Nome. So I'm just curious if you think all of this this blowback from the dog story is warranted, is justified. So here's the backstory, and this is all in her new book that's coming out. And she revealed that she once killed a dog. And the reason why she's doing this is because when you see Christy Nome, what's a polite way of saying this? Well, she's hot. I mean, she's a very attractive governor, a female governor. As we have said on this radio program, the most beautiful women in America are, by and large, conservative. That's how God made them. So well done, Lord. Thank you. So anyway, Christy Nome is recounting this story of 20-something years ago. And she has, when you have dogs or cats out on the farm, these are not like lovely little house pets. These are working dogs. These are working cats. So anyway, she was having an issue with her little puppy named Cricket. And Cricket was one of the working dogs at the ranch. And she was talking about that Cricket was not doing his job, her job. Cricket's 14-month-old female. So anyway, she took the dog out to a gravel pit near the farm, and she shot the dog because it was, quote, less than worthless and untrainable. She also said that the dog had killed and eaten several chickens. Well, I can see where that would be a problem. I mean, if your dog, if you got a working farm dog and the dog is supposed to be guarding the chickens, but the dog is in fact eating the chickens, well, what are you going to do? She also said that Cricket had ruined a pheasant hunt when she, quote, went out of her mind with excitement, started chasing all those birds and having the time of her life. Well, at least Cricket went out happy. I mean, geez, Alou. She says it was not a pleasant job, but it had to be done. And after it was over, I realized another unpleasant job needed to be done. Uh-oh. Another bad dog? No, it was not a bad dog. It was a mean and nasty goat. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. She hauled the goat out to the gravel pit, and she shot and killed the goat. And so now, Kristi Noem is defending herself because a lot of conservatives, a lot of you conservatives out there are just enraged over this. Kristi Noem says, I can understand why some people are upset about an incident that occurred 20 years ago. The book is filled with many honest stories of my life, good and bad days, challenges, painful decisions, and lessons learned. What I, God almighty. So here's all I can think of is this. You're a staffer for Kristi Noem, and maybe you're not working up to your full potential. If Kristi Noem ever knocks on the door and says, hey, let's go out to the let's go out to the gravel pit. She ever says that, if I were you, I'd be running the other way. Jeez, Alou. Anyway, she's defending herself. She says the fact is South Dakota law states that dogs who attack and kill livestock can be put down. Given that Cricket had shown aggressive behavior toward people biting them, I decided what I did. Okay, but did she really like, I mean, this is about 20 years ago. Did she really just, did she have a copy of what South Dakota state law just like in the, I don't know, in the coffee table? And she's flipping to the statute to see whether or not she can kill Cricket? See, I don't think so. It seems to me, and I don't, maybe my reading of this is off, but it seems to me that she's got an anger management problem here. You bad dog, off to the gravel pit. I don't know. But people are really upset about this, and they say this is not normal behavior. And Janice Dean, the weather machine, man, you don't want to get Janice Dean on your bad side. I know she's all smiles and giggles on TV, but she'll come after you, and she is fierce. And just look at the whole Andrew Cuomo story. Anyway, Janice Dean says you've brought both Republicans and Democrats together in their horror of the story. Congratulations. Here's the deal. She didn't have to tell this story, right? It's her memoir. It's not like people are going back and digging up, you know, dirt on Kristi Noem. She actually not only volunteered this information, but she's using the story to demonstrate that when the going gets tough, she will kill you. And I guess that's a good thing. I don't know. But it's all very odd and very peculiar. And I'm not too sure if I'm Donald Trump and I'm reading this story that this is going to resonate well. But I will say this, might just want to do a pat down if she gets invited to Mar-a-Lago just to be on the safe side here. You know, it's the craziest story I've heard. Then again, If I'm Joe Biden's dogs, was it Commander and Sarge? They were the ones that were biting all the Secret Service agents. And if I'm the dogs and I'm reading the story in the New York Times as I'm eating my, I don't know, Purina Chow or whatever, I'm sitting here going, holy crap, we got off easy. Because she would have taken the dogs out to the Rose Garden and they would have been sleeping with the fishes. So I'm just curious, does this make you, she wanted, look, Kristi Noem, she wants you to understand that even though she looks good and she's got the lip gloss on and all of that stuff, that she will shoot you dead if you mess with her. And I get it. I don't think she had to do that, though. I think she's done a terrific job as governor. I think she's very effective. She's very well-liked, very popular. She's out there, and she can ride a horse and do the rodeo and the whole nine yards. I don't think she needs to prove herself, and I believe this is why, ultimately, Kristi Noem felt obligated to put this story in her upcoming memoir. Otherwise, what's wrong with you, lady? Really? It's not like you even felt bad about it. Like, well, you know, I really hated to do this. I mean, I love the dog, but you know what? The dog's eating all the chickens. We got to make money. So anyway, Democrats are going bonkers. Conservatives are going nuts over this. But as bad as this may be, and again, I don't know. I'm not on the farm, so I need some of you farmer people. And I've actually talked to a couple of farmers, and they say, Todd, we would never do this to a dog. I mean, we would send it to the shelter or whatever, but we would not kill a dog because of this kind of behavior that was described. So I don't know. I'm not on the farm, so I cannot cast judgment here. But from a political perspective, who in their right mind let this get through the editing process? I mean, who did that? But as bad as this is, may I just remind all of you that President Barack Hussein Obama, in his memoir, actually told the story about how he ate a dog. So I will say this, at least Kristi Noem did not chow down on a dog. At least she was not eating a chihuahua on a stick, right? So I still think that when it comes to the dogs, no. What about Mitt Romney? Look, Mitt Romney's dog had, what is a polite way to say this on the national radio program, the Hershey squirts. So Mitt Romney had to put the dog in a crate on top of the station wagon. So that makes sense because you don't want the dog, you know, running around. Well, you know what I mean. You get the visual. All that to say, as bad as what Mitt Romney did and as horrific as what Kristi Noem did, at least they did not eat dogs. All right, so we're going to take your calls on this. I am curious to get a, because she's one of the top three people that are being considered to be Trump's running mate. Does this story help or hurt Kristi Noem? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I just, look, every dog in America is like, holy crap. So hopefully your dog is on good behavior today. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, Grace Baker, the esteemed producer of this program, Grace is telling me that Merlot, her sweet Dalmatian, is growling right now at the radio. So I look, it is not me. I haven't shot a dog. I love all of the creatures of the woodlands. Let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Let's start our day in North Carolina. WSIC, our great affiliate there. All right, Tim, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Todd? I've heard stories like that before, the similar, you know, like one guy with a rabbit dog that he got, it wouldn't hunt, you know, and he took it around back and threw it down the hill, and when it come back up, he shot it. I mean, that's terrible. I would never agree with something like that. I don't agree, you know, but it happens, and I've heard other farmers and stuff, different things like that that's happened. I just don't see any reason to make a big deal out of it. It just tells me that Christy Nome is a great American. She is from out west, you know, and, you know, they do things, you know, the rough and rowdy way, I guess.
Well, no, I mean, I guess so. And look, if that was happening, you know, and it may be a standard thing on the farm. I don't know. I can tell you that right now in my neighborhood, I've never seen anybody, you know, shoot their dog. But again, I don't live on a farm.
Right. The one thing else that I was thinking about is the goat. You know, the only thing I thought is I hope she ate it.
Oh, gosh.
It's good eating.
Well, Tim, can I get on? Let's get honest for a minute here, because we're all from the South. And do things a little different down here. And there are some things that we do that just don't translate well north of the Mason-Dixon line. Like if you're going to eat a squirrel, for example, a little gristly, but, you know, good eating. I mean, it is what it is. That being
not much meat.
No, but, you know, but or like, you know, we've all been to the Walmart after midnight. We know there's some freaky deaky stuff going down. You just don't talk about that to the Northerners because they don't understand. And I think that's one of those things. So I think Christy Nome has talked about life on the farm that she probably should have just kept to herself.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's true. But I mean, at the end of the day, it is an animal. It's just a dog. And if it don't follow the human's advice or, you know, direction, you just got to get rid of it.
Yeah. Tim, all right. I Merlot is not going to be very happy with you. So I think Merlot may be growling again. Tim, appreciate that call. Let's go to Michael in Maryland. All right, Michael, what say you?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on your program. I say that Christy Nome is America's best governor. This controversy that's swirling around, the incident occurred 20 years ago. The dog was aggressive. She's an experienced rancher and farmer. And as far as Janice Dean goes, I think she's a blockhead. Where is Janice Dean's outrage? Why hasn't she decried the murder of the unborn children, tens of millions of them? I zero in on 22-day unborn babies that have a heartbeat. Why doesn't she decry the murder of the unborn? She has no moral authority to criticize in this.
All right, Michael, good stuff. Look, you're not getting an argument from me on this. Because, again, I just don't know what goes on down in the farm. I will say this, Wyatt Cox, and Michael, thank you for the call. Our good buddy Wyatt Cox over the Nevada Talk Network says, we do not shoot our dogs out here in the West. All right, thank you for that, Wyatt. Let's go to Tina in Georgia. All right, Tina, what say you?
Todd, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I'm lived in the country almost all my entire life, and I've also had dogs all my life. And in the country, that is a very pretty common practice. You know, if you've got a cattle dog that's eating your cattle or chewing on your cattle or a sheep dog that's eating your sheep, you can't keep it around. And you don't necessarily want to drive 50 miles and pay $200 for a vet to give it a shot. So it's pretty common. And I also agree with both your last callers that we do far, far worse things to the unborn children in this country. And I just think it's, you know, we need to figure out what we're going to stand for. And this, you know, it's a dog. I mean, I hate putting my dog down, but, you know, I'm not going to go shoot one, but I don't blame her for doing it that way.
No, look, I'm with you. I don't live on a farm. My concern is I understand why she was trying to do it, Tina. I just don't think she needed to tell that particular story because it would cause this kind of chaos in the country. People are losing their minds over this, and a lot of people on the conservative side who have never stepped foot on a farm.
I agree with you. It did not need to be in her book.
Yeah.
But I don't hold her at fault for it at all.
It's kind of like, you know, when you're in church, Tina, and, you know, you've got some people that are doing some really bad sinning and your family, and what do? You put your hand up and you say, I haven't unspoken. That's what she should have played that card here.
That's, yeah, she should have kept it out of the book, but, I mean, people just need to get their priorities straight and start treating the unborn a lot better than they do.
It's amazing, but I'm afraid in this country, Tina, that the left, they love puppies more than they love babies, and that's tragic. Gotta run for a break. Hang tight, everybody. We do have a line open now, 901-260-5926. Oh, we're going to get into the Palestinian protest, too. A lot happening out there, folks. Stick around. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. By the way, 2 o'clock Eastern deadline, Colombia now giving the Hamas terrorists. They've got to pack up their tents and get out of there. That's 2 o'clock Eastern. We'll keep you updated on how all of that goes. I mean, how many deadlines have they given the children over there? And by the way, my hat is off to the Georgia State Patrol. God bless you guys out there. I know we got a lot of state troopers that listen. They went in, and by the way, God bless Emory University, the administrators over there, they're not putting up with this foolishness. You're going to school, you need to go there to learn. So the State Patrol came in, and they were clearing out the protesters. We've got this video up on our website. You got to go check this out. It's pretty awesome. So one of the protesters, kind of a big old fella, and we think it's a fella. It's kind of like SNL's Pat. You're just not quite sure the pronouns. So anyway, the state trooper pulled a great NFL move and just clocked this guy, this protester who was trying to run away. Get off of me. Get off of me. You're hurting me. You're hurting me. And then the guy was trying to resist arrest. So the state trooper just hauls up, grabs the guy by the leg and hoists him up and just carries him off to the paddy wagon. Good for you, Mr. State Trooper. You folks over at the Atlanta Falcons, you need to be giving that guy a second glance. I'm just saying. Could win some football games with that kind of strength. All right, let's go to the phones here. Mike in Georgia, WDUN. Mike, I don't know if you saw the video, but, man, your state troopers, they don't mess around.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What I'm calling about is the dog deal. Some dogs just need put down. And I know that sounds bad, but some of them you really can't hardly break from killing chickens and such as that and biting folks. That's bad. And even I'm not on the farm, but some dogs have to be put down. And you if you've got a farm, you can't leave and drive a half a day somewhere to have your dog put down. Those things have to be done. And I don't want it to sound that bad, but, you know, that's still pretty normal. Certain people can't find out about it, but it's got to be done. And Christy Noem just doing what's done, you know, there's no telling in a year how many millions of dogs are put down. And it needs to be.
Well, Mike, I think this is a fair point you raise, that there's a difference. I mean, on the farm, you have working dogs. And, you know, if you're in a neighborhood or a subdivision, chances are your neighbors, they have those little metrosexual purse dogs that look like rats with fur. You know what I'm talking about? Then those are not the kinds of dogs we're talking about. So I get your point. Mike, appreciate that call, and there you go. So, what a mess. But isn't it interesting, the outrage over putting down a dog, when the Democrat Party platform right now advocates putting down babies that have just been born? Just want to point that out. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Wow, these protests are getting insane. And it's really bad, really bad.
over at UCLA over the weekend, you had a bunch of Jewish students, and they're waving American flags and Israeli flags. They're singing the national anthem. And then all of a sudden, the pro-Hamas mob just gets enraged and starts attacking the Jewish kids. Let me explain what's going on here. It's really not about Israel. And it's really not about the Jews. This is about America. They hate us. And it was Alan Dershowitz, I believe, over the weekend was talking about this. And he said, hey, look, the problem here is that what you are seeing in real time on your social media platforms and on national television, you are watching the radicalization of these college kids, and that many of these college kids are going to be transformed into terrorists who are going to go out there and blow things up in this country. That's what's really going on here. I want to play some audio. This is a female student at George Washington University, and she is a very troubled soul. And it turns out that, she needs some lady products. You know, the things that you see on the lady aisle at Kroger. She needs some of those products. But she's a radical activist, and she's boycotting, I guess, life because she's supporting Hamas. Cut 16.
Menstrual products from sanitary places to, you know, care for my period in a hygienic way. You know, I'm personally quite worried about what the reproductive consequences of this might be. So, you know, me not having access to a sanitary bathroom puts me at risk for, you know, a number of potential urinary diseases. So,
hey, hey, hey. Are they cheering or booing? I couldn't. Yes, you're about to give me a sanitary disease. Yay! Wonderful! You go, girl! It just seems to me that if you've got those kinds of issues, then what you should do, and far be it for me to tell a woman what to do, but you should put down your pro-Hamas badge, and you should walk over to the Walgreens, and you should go purchase whatever products you need. There's no need to be nasty, ma'am. No need to be nasty, even if you're a radical terrorist. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, so there is a lawmaker in Tennessee, and he shared a photograph. I want to get your take on this. And this was taken at one of these pro-Hamas rallies. And, you know, when I say the gays, I want to preface this. So when I say the gays, I don't mean all the gays. I just mean the gays. So anyway, the gays are, they're just all in a tizzy over this, and they're standing in solidarity with the Muslims. And so there's a photograph that's been circulating, and in this photograph, you've got a couple of Muslim people and a Muslim chick who's wearing the hijab thingy, and they're holding gay pride flag banners with the words hashtag Allah loves equality. And then a bunch of presumably, just based on the hairdos, gay dudes that are standing around them, smiling, grinning from ear to ear, like Cheshire cats. So anyway, this lawmaker, his name is Jeremy Fison. He is he's a lawmaker here in Tennessee. And he says, who stands the better chance? This bunch on a rooftop in Palestine or Iran, or a chair from a rooftop bar on Lower Broadway? Talking about, who was it? Who was the country music star that threw the chair?
Morgan Wallen.
Oh, yeah, Morgan Wallen. Is he in rehab yet?
Interesting guy.
Okay.
No, he's still out there.
So he threw a chair off of a bar on Lower Broadway in Nashville. So the point being is that right now, the Muslims are literally throwing gay people off buildings in the Middle East. That is a real thing. So are you people nuts? What is wrong with you? Well, I thought that one guy was gay. He could be a lesbian. That's hard to tell. Anyway, what's wrong? I will just say LGBT people. I got to cover all my bases here. What's wrong with you people? They want to kill you. Allah doesn't love equality. He wants to throw you off of a building. Jeez, Allah. Let's go to David in North Carolina, WSIC. All right, David, what's on your mind?
Well, number one, I'm going to be glad to see you here in a few weeks. You're coming to our town.
Are you really? No, of course I am. I'm excited about this. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Talk to Grace. She'll tell you what's going on.
She knows everything.
I know. These protesters, I think they're, since they're so adamant, we ought to just load them up on planes and volunteer them to Hamas in Palestine and let them fight there. If they're so adamant about their beliefs, they should put it into action rather than protest. We should just load them up. I've got the money for one of them to fly them over one way. I think we should do that. I just don't think this is right. I don't know. It just doesn't seem right to me.
David, I love this idea. I think this is a terrific point, and make these people just ship them up, send them over there, and they can be on the front lines with Hamas.
That's exactly right. Put them down in those tunnels and let them come up out and fight, you know.
Love that idea.
Yeah, the second thing is, I had a situation last year. I had a family of skunks that moved in under my shed where I work. And that's not a nice odor to go to in the mornings when you're going to go into your shed and work. And so I hate to tell all these people, but those skunks missed their birthday because I just couldn't take the smell. It was causing me to gag, and even when they don't spray, they smell.
David? How dare you kill Pepe Le Pew? How dare you, Dave?
Well, you know what? We're all in the food chain. At some point, some have to go below us, and sometimes we go in the food chain. So, that's just how life is, Todd.
It's a fair point you raise. And so, again, and by the way, the only thing worse than that is running over a skunk. Oh, my gosh.
You go through the car wash. They don't even let you go through the car wash, where you get it undersprayed and everything. You just let it set out in the yard for about 3 months,
It's true. Woo! It's like one of those pro-Hamas terrorists. I'll tell you, it's pungent. Just pungent.
Yes, sir. Well, Todd, I'm looking forward to seeing you next month.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to have a blast, and we really hope to have a huge crowd turnout. I want to be able to meet all of our SIC listeners there in the Statesville area in person. And, David, I sure do appreciate you calling. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, tomorrow I'll be in Houston with our great affiliate there, Patriot Talk 920. I'll be doing, my understanding is this getting close to being a sold out event. Over 300 people already scooping up tickets at Houston Christian University. So if you're listening in the Houston area, you might want to call the radio station and see if they can't squeeze you in. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. David had a great idea, but what do you think we ought to do about these pro-Hamas terrorists that are on these university campuses? What do we do with them? 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. They are literally now chanting death to Israel, kill the Jews, at several of these university campuses across the country. 2 o'clock deadline coming up at Columbia. The kids have to clear out. I don't think they're going to clear out, and I don't think the school's going to do anything about it. But the fact that they are literally coddling Jew haters, unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Let's go to New Orleans, Miss Janice. Hi, Miss Janice. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, so first of all, I don't consider people in college to be kids. And let me tell you, this morning I called the governor's office and left a message, and I called the superintendent of police and spoke to someone there, because what is happening here in this town is not good, and if something has not happened right now to stop it, it's going to get worse.
So are they protesting there? Are the Palestinians protesting there too?
Absolutely. Now, when it comes to college, I would tell them, you take your personal opinions and you deal with them on your own time. This is a college. You will come to school. You will sit at a desk and you will do your work. Because if you do anything else, and I mean anything else, you are not suspended. I won't suspend you. You're expelled, meaning you will never come back. You're gone. You're out. Goodbye. Now, the other day here in New Orleans on Poydras Street, it's a big thoroughfare. They were out in the street. I think it was peaceful, but still, they were out in the street. They had barricades. They put some barricades in the street. In other words, someone had to go to work, a fire truck or an ambulance or anything could not get down that street. And that is where I draw the line. Then the other day, I read the other night, there's a website. It's called NOLA, NOLA.com. Stands for New Orleans, Louisiana. NOLA.com. And I saw last night, they're pitching tents, believe it or not, in the French Quarter in Jackson Square. Well, I would give them a time to remove them, and if they did not, the police would remove them, and they would absolutely go to jail, and the gate to Jackson Square would be locked.
So, Miss Janice, hold on. Let's explain to everyone why this is important, and I mentioned this earlier, that this is really not about the Jews, because Jackson Square is home to St. Louis Cathedral. So they're protesting in front of that cathedral. They're coming after all of us, is the point of this. They're coming after all of us, Miss Janice.
Yes, they certainly are. And someone said the other day that Hamas could recruit them. And this could turn into a really, really much bigger, much serious matter than it is at this moment. And people, I don't think a lot of people realize this, but we could have it really super, super bad all over this entire country.
Yeah.
And with that border open, thanks to Joseph Biden, Lord knows who's coming in here. Pete, they're already here. So there's no telling what could happen, Todd. I just personally do not like it. And if I was running a school, I can guarantee you, this kind of stuff, you wouldn't be camping out on my campus. Uh-uh, no way.
I'm with you. Let's make Miss Janice president of Louisiana State University. I think we need to do that, and she'll clean house.
No, you know what I need to be? I need to be the mayor of New Orleans.
Ooh,
is what I need.
I'd vote for you. I'd campaign for you. Wow,
there's a lot of people that would hate me too.
That's all right. You'd clean house, though. All right, Miss Janice. Good hearing you. Thank you for calling in. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, so over the weekend, Jackson Square, which is directly in front of St. Louis Cathedral, right next door to Cafe Dumont. So if you've been to New Orleans, you know exactly the area I'm talking about. And the police did go in, and they tried to clear these thugs out. But to her point, and pay attention to this, folks, what we are watching is the birth of the radicalized sleeper cells in this country. That's what's going down here. In the next hour, I'm going to play some audio from Ronald Reagan back when he was governor, and they were dealing with these radicalized protests on the college campuses back in the 1960s. And there's some great insight into how we need to be handling this now. Also, some insane polling numbers coming out. Joe Biden is in a free fall, and I'm telling you, what was it? You heard it here first. I told you it was the economy. Right now in California, gas over $7 a gallon in California right now. All right, got to take a break. Lines open, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live
from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Our new poll, which was conducted by SSRS, finds Trump is leading Biden, who has ample work to do with his base and with independent voters who are breaking to his GOP rival. In a head-to-head race, 49% of voters say they'd pick Trump for president, compared to 43% for Biden. That's a 9-point Trump advantage with independent voters. And add in third-party candidates, and Trump's lead jumps even more. He has 42% to Biden's 33%, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. gets 16% of the vote. Our poll also underscores the challenges of incumbency, and that voters, 4 years later, have a better view of Trump's presidency compared to Biden's. 55% say Trump's time in office was a success, with only 39% saying the same about Biden's presidency.
All right. That's the very latest polling data that came out yesterday from CNN, and it is devastating for the Biden administration. I just want you to think, just step back for a moment. An overwhelming majority of Americans now believe that President Biden's presidency has been a disaster. That's from the polling data coming from CNN. But what's also remarkable is President Trump holds unbelievable leads in a number of states. And what's fascinating about all of this is that the polling data this poll was taken as President Trump is literally on trial in a hush money case right now. What does that tell you about Donald Trump? It tells, well, I'll tell you what it says, not just about Donald Trump, but the American people. The American people are disgusted. They're sick and tired. But the thing that has moved the needle is not the border crisis. It's not Israel. It's what's happening in the economy right now. That's what is moving the needle. And folks, just pay attention. I just don't believe there's anything that can be done between now and Election Day to reverse the economic woes that are impacting every family in this country. Every family. And people get it. And they understand what's really going on here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up in just a little while, we're going to be talking to a student at Columbia University. He is the editor-in-chief for the Columbia Sundial, and he's going to be providing some eyewitness accounts of what's been happening inside these pro-Hamas encampments. Also, Jonathan Falwell is going to be here, the pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church. He is the chancellor at Liberty University, and there's some incredible things happening at Liberty, so we're looking forward to that conversation as well. All right, I want to play some audio for you. This is from Ronald Reagan when he was governor of California. Now, this is how a lawmaker ought to handle the kind of protests that are breaking out on these university campuses. Cut number 14.
Those people told you for days in advance that if the university sought to go ahead with that construction, they were going to physically destroy the university.
President, why did you negotiate many times?
Negotiate? What is to negotiate? What is?
University is a public institution.
That's right. But the university,
its own community, and for the community of Berkeley that live around.
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
I'm sick and tired of the argument about whether some effort to enforce law and order is going to escalate anything at all. Plain truth of the matter is this has to stop, and it has to stop like the day before yesterday.
I would like to propose that the issue is that on the campuses, you who are adults, you who are entrusted with those young people and their guidance, have a responsibility to make it plain to them from the very beginning that you yourselves do not tolerate the kind of conduct that has led to the burning of Wheeler Hall, that has led to two murders on the campus of UCLA.
You created an atmosphere on the campus where no one wants to listen.
You are a liar.
I have read and I have been questioned since I've been here about certain demonstrations against my coming. And I would like to say just one thing. And to those who demonstrate so, I wonder if they have ever asked themselves that if they should have the kind of government they apparently seek, no one would ever be able to do what they're doing again.
Anything, and I have a feeling that if you check closely on some of the more militant of those leaders who are advocating violence, you will find that if you settle whatever issue it is that has them worked up today, they'll be back tomorrow morning with another issue. But I think the time has come for them to make a choice and to decide whether they want to continue to even tolerate these false prophets in their midst who are, if anything, destroying their own community.
I don't think that taking to the streets and rioting and disorder has ever solved anything or ever will.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution, a peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us. All who oppose them are indicted as warmongers. They say we offer simple answers to complex problems. Well, perhaps there is a simple answer. Not an easy answer, but simple. If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right, we cannot buy our security, our freedom from the threat of the bomb, by committing an immorality so great as saying to a billion human beings now enslaved behind the Iron Curtain, give up your dreams of freedom, because to save our own skins, we're willing to make a deal with your slave masters.
Recently, there you go. So that's just a few clips of how Ronald Reagan dealt with these fascists that are inundating our college campuses right now. Look, it is very simple. College, you are there, and the reason we have a university is not for the kids to burn it down or desecrate the statues or stage these protests and shut down learning. The point of those universities is to train up the next generation of engineers and doctors and lawyers and teachers. And if the schools can't do that, shut them down. Shut them down. I am tired of my tax money going to support these little unwashed urchins out there protesting and whining like babies. And as you heard the students from New York University just a few days ago, well, you know, come to think of it, we don't really know why we're out here protesting. I guess we need to educate ourselves. Yes, you need to educate yourself. Or else go take a home economics class, ladies. Unbelievable. But that's the point of the public university, the taxpayer-funded university. And if we're not educating the kids, shut down the universities. Shut them all down. As a matter of fact, now there are professors out there protesting alongside the students. You know what? Fire them. Fire every single one of them. Go work at McDonald's. That's what I say. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's check in with MSDNC, cut number 20.
It's staggering. Not just to me. I know I'm a conservative. Not just to me, but to 90% of Americans. They want to know where the adults are at Columbia. They want to know where the adults are at Penn. They want to know where the adults are at Harvard. They want to know where the adults are at all of these college campuses where they're letting their students and outside agitators run across the campus, shut down debate, scream whenever anybody tries to talk reason to them, shout genocidal chants, hold up signs pointing to Jews saying Hamas's next victims, holding up signs talking about the final solution, chanting constantly from the river to the sea. You know what from the river to the sea is? If you don't, that's all right. Most of the students chanting it don't understand that they are chanting genocidal comments.
It's true. Even MSDNC gets it. But the problem is they're responsible for all of this. I'm telling you right now, folks, you better wake up, because this is happening in every major university in America, every one of them. This is going to be happening in your town very soon. So you better wake up. you better have a plan for how to deal with this. Soon it'll be coming to your neighborhoods. Oh, is it Ted Cruz over the weekend? And we've got the video on the website. I'd encourage you to go and look at it. It was, what, 11 o'clock midnight in Ted Cruz's neighborhood. It's a nice neighborhood. And you got people banging on their bongos, chanting, screaming in the neighborhood. And by the way, the police showed up and the police did nothing. They were ordered to stand down. So now you've got a bunch of very angry people, homeowners, because they can't go to bed because they've got a bunch of filthy protesters out there banging their bongos, screaming about Hamas in the middle of some Houston neighborhood. Now, my recommendation, and I don't know if the senator took advantage of this or not, but my recommendation would be to invest. Maybe the neighborhood should invest in some water cannons, maybe bear spray. You know how many of those yards have sprinkler systems, and maybe they could rig up the sprinkler systems and it could just blast the protesters with some bear spray. That ought to stop the bango bonging. Bonging the bangos. Banging the bongos. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. But Reagan, and what I love about Reagan and the media, he wasn't like, oh, well, you know what? That's a fine question. No, no. Somebody asks him something or accuses him. He goes, you're a liar. You're a liar. You filthy liar. That I love that. We need more of that. And by the way, they hated Reagan. They hated Reagan as much as they hate Trump right now. And you know why? Because George W. Bush, God love him, George W. Bush brought this, what do they call it? Compassionate conservatism. Well, we just have to love everybody. We just love everybody. We try not to irritate too many folks. And we declare war on as many people as possible, but we just blow them up in the name of Jesus. No, no, that is not compassionate conservatism. What it is weak and lily-livered. This is why they hate Donald Trump. And all of you people out there, well, you know, they're these never Trumpers out there. And they're like, well, you know, Ronald Reagan was our most conservative president and they never treated him. No, of course they did. They treated him worse. That's the reason we have talk radio, because we remind, look, we're going to be talking about things on this program that they will not talk about in the mainstream media. They want you to forget. And by the way, conservative talk radio, too. I have some thoughts about that coming up. But there's just a lot of weird stuff going on. And if nothing else, and you know what? This show may not be on 500 radio stations, coast to coast, border to border just yet. And that's okay. That's okay. Because I'm not going to sell my soul out to be on, you know, 500, 600 stations. That's just not who I am. We're going to keep talking about the big issues of the day, and we're going to call people out. It doesn't matter if they're conservative or Democrat, Christian, heathen. It doesn't matter. We're going to do what I believe to be true. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, and I hope you guys appreciate that. I mean, you may not agree with me all the time, and that's okay. We give you the opportunity to call in and give me the what for. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Biden's dog, Major. Maybe Christy Nome can watch him. You know, maybe that'd take care of his biting. Take care of the biting issues. Just figured I'd throw that out there.
Thank you very much, Mark from Florida. It's a good question. And it's actually an excellent point. And then when Biden goes to pick up the dogs and says, what happened? Where are my dogs at? Where's my dogs? And Christine Ohm could say, I don't know, Mr. President. Took him down for a walk to the gravel pit. Don't know. Terrible. All right, can I ask you a question here about this God Bless the USA Bible? Why are people so upset over this?
This is not the first time that somebody came up with a gift edition of God's Word. Now, people are very upset, and now there's a preacher. They call him an evangelical, but he's really a Pentecostal. His name is Loran Livingston, and he pastors a big mega church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Maybe some of you have heard of this guy. Anyway, he is raging, just enraged over this Bible, and calls President Trump's Bible just all sorts of horrible things. Let's take a listen.
That's what happens when you don't read and pray. When you don't read and pray, you say, wow, there's a Bible out now that includes the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Isn't that wonderful? No. No, it's disgusting. It's blasphemous. It's a ploy. Are you kidding me? Some of you are so encouraged by that. Let me tell you something. The gospel is not an American gospel. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Calm down, pal.
But Pastor, I bought the Bible. Really? You're telling me that you're encouraged because someone took a government U.S. Constitution, a document that says we are of the people, by the people, and for the people. The people, the people, the people. And you have put it right beside the Word of God, which is eternal, unchanging, which says of him, by him, through him, to him, from him are all things. And you're going to put those together and be happy about it? God forbid. Now, you can get mad if you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. If you glory in that kind of thing, you don't have a prayer life. If you glory in that kind of mess, political mess, you do not know what the Word of God says.
So, I'm just curious here. By the way, this is a very large conservative congregation in North Carolina, Central Church, and you just heard the pastor, the filth spewing from this man's mouth, that if you own a copy of the God Bless the USA Bible, then you are a bad person. He's almost saying that you're not even a Christian if you own a copy of this God Bless the USA Bible. Now, the pastor went on to say that those of you who are Christians should not be involved in politics. Do you agree or disagree with what this very influential pastor said from the pulpit? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Tonight, if you're on the lines, we're going to get to your calls in just a moment. By the way, tomorrow night, I'll be speaking at the big launch party for our great affiliate in Houston, Texas. That would be Patriot Talk 920, and we're going to be at Houston Christian University. If you want tickets, if you can still get them, my understanding is this thing is very close to being sold out. Just head over to their website, and you'll be able to get all of that information. All right. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now, and we're honored to have with us Jonas Due, who is the editor-in-chief for the Columbia Sundial. He is a student at Columbia University. Jonas, good to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So Jonas, I know that you have been providing eyewitness accounts of these encampments. Give our listeners an idea of what you have seen.
Absolutely. So it's been a crazy scene out here at Columbia University, one of the top universities in the world, but you wouldn't know it from stepping on campus. A lot of people would describe the last 2 weeks as just a complete war zone here in Morningside Heights, Manhattan. And so what has happened is as soon as our university president, Manu Shafiq, went to Washington, D.C. to testify to Congress about campus anti-Semitism, the pro-Palestinian protesters have set up camp on the lawns, and they've been there ever since. Even after the police came and arrested over 100 of them, they set it back up, and they've closed down the gates, but everyone else, all the other students from New York City who support the movement, are coming into the neighborhood and protesting through into the night. And it's been like that pretty much every day for the last 2 weeks. And, you know, there's no end in sight. We have finals coming up, and they're trying to negotiate with the protesters with no avail.
So we understand, Jonas, the latest reporting is that 2 o'clock Eastern is the deadline the university set. The problem with that is that they've set so many other deadlines that have come and gone with no consequences. Do you think the students are going to obey this upcoming directive at 2 o'clock?
Absolutely not. And so what has happened is the university president has been sending updates to everybody in the community saying, we're negotiating. If they don't come by midnight, we're to consider alternative measures. And then they pushed it another 48 hours. And then they just kind of let that lapse. And now they're handing out notices to the campers saying, hey, look, we know who you are. And if you don't leave by 2 p.m., we're going to suspend you. You're not going to be able to finish the semester. And the reaction has been completely expected, which is they're not even reading the notices. They've vowed to stay there until Columbia divests, which I don't think is ever going to happen. And they've basically written in red, big red letters on these notices, Columbia will burn. And they've been posting that all over social media. So, you know, nobody's really going to leave because of this.
Jonas, I'm curious if you've had a chance to talk to other students, classmates, friends. What's the general mood of the university, would you say? Are they supporting the Hamas crowd or the Jewish students?
Well, I think that the majority of Columbia students are very sympathetic to the protesters. I think they support what they would call, you know, Palestinian liberation or whatever, and they would probably align more with the Palestinian cause than the Israeli cause. But Columbia does have one of the largest Jewish student bodies of any U.S. university. It's around 20% of students are Jewish. And so I've had the chance to talk with many of them, and a lot of people are actually very sympathetic towards the anti-Semitism that has been rampant on campus, you know, throughout since October 7th, but especially in the month of April. So I do think that the majority of students, at least, did not like that the NYPD was called in to arrest students, even though, you know, the protesters were breaking numerous university rules.
I'm curious, your editor-in-chief of the Columbia Sundial, is that like an alternative student newspaper? And if so, have you guys taken a position editorial on what's going on?
So we are not the main newspaper of Columbia. That is the Columbia Spectator. We're a campus magazine. We're a monthly magazine that does investigative journalism and commentary. And so we have refrained from taking an explicit stance just because this is such a controversial issue, but we have been out in the field. We have been reporting. None of our staff members are sort of actively involved in any of the protests on either side. So we've sort of approached the issue from more of a neutral standpoint. And we've the Columbia Daily Spectator, on the hand, they've taken a very, you know, pro student protester stance, pro like the university should, you know, listen to student protesters and not call in the police and let them encamp, basically, which is not the position that we're taking.
All right. Well, Jonas, really appreciate the intel there. And it ought to be interesting around 2 o'clock Eastern, folks, is when they're saying the deadline will come, and whether or not the students will go, we shall see. Jonas, be safe out there.
Thank you very much.
All right. Jonas Du from Columbia University, a student there, and editor-in-chief of the magazine, Columbia Sundial. By the way, two lawmakers, Congressman Richie Torres, a Democrat from New York, and Congressman Mike Lawler, a Republican from New York, are introducing one of the worst pieces of legislation I can. This is just unbelievable. So these two men, Republican and Democrat, introducing the Columbia Act. This is a bill that would basically create thought police at select colleges, but they're calling them anti-Semitism monitors. You can't do that. That's Look, you have a constitutional right to hate people. You do. It's wrong. You can't go out there and act on that hate. So you can't go out there. And if you do, there are laws on the books dealing with that. But now you've got this legislation that will have bipartisan support and it will create anti-Semitism monitors. All right, well, fine. Anti-Semitism monitors. Well, they've been attacking Christians for a long time. What about anti-Christian monitors? You see where all that is going? You cannot squelch speech that you find disgusting, offensive, or you disagree with. Can't do that. That's unconstitutional. And this is the problem as we go through these kinds of situations. Unfortunately, the conservative movement has been co-opted by a lot of people who don't understand what it means to be a conservative. They don't understand what it means to support a small government. They don't understand those concepts anymore. And one of the reasons why is that conservatism has almost been co-opted by the populist. So this is why organizations like Young America's Foundation, for example, are so vitally important, because the students, yeah, I get it. They're not a lot. You're not going to find, you know, rock bands and people with guns shooting out money from the money guns. You're not going to have the money honeys and all that kind of. You're not going to have that at a YAF conference, but at least your kid is going to understand, oh, this is what it means to be a conservative. And they may not have the tens of thousands of people coming out to their rallies, but that's okay. I mean, we do have to train up the next generation of young Americans who understand, oh, this is what it means to be conservative. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these big, huge conservative conferences for young people. They're all about smoke and mirrors. Flashing lights. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm just wondering, are the kids actually getting anything out of it? That, seriously. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phones. Pastor John in Kentucky. And Pastor John, I'm glad you called. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this pastor out in North Carolina. Is he right? Is he wrong?
Well, first of all, your call screen and I had to figure out a word. This pastor is full of mule muffins, okay?
Mule muffins.
If he called mule muffins, yes. She'll translate that to you later. But this pastor is so heavenly minded, he is no earthly good to anybody. And he's one of the reasons why, besides the cheat, that the president did not get as the votes that he needed. Former President Trump, that he didn't get the necessary votes he needed to win the last election. He told his congregation not to get involved. Obviously, that pastor does not have any inclination about the history of the United States of America. Our American Revolution started in the church houses. These churches did get politically involved, and that's why we have a constitution. That's why we have, well, right now, God willing, we still have a free society. If that pastor is listening, I'm calling you out, because there's another Bible out there that's called the Patriot Bible that does contain the same things that this God Bless the USA Bible has as well. And Todd, I would love you to try to get this pastor on, but I don't think he has the intestinal fortitude to answer your call out. And I find him a disgrace to the caller, because he said that his congregation shouldn't get politically involved. Well, he's the reason why our country right now is in trouble.
1,000%. People were stunned a couple of years ago. This is, well, more than that. When North Carolina elected a Democrat governor who turned around and opened up all the bathrooms to the trans crowd, right? And the reason people are like, how in the world, how did they elect a Democrat in North Carolina? Because of pastors like this guy. That's why.
Yeah. And Todd, I just wanted to say this real fast. God bless you. And Todd, please try to get this guy on. And I don't think he would do it because he's a coward. And I'll hang up and listen to more of your commentary. I love you, Todd.
Well, thank you, Pastor John. I am not a pastor. I'm not a theologian. But I do know, and I was a big fan of the of Pastor Adrian Rogers back in the day, if any of you folks remember Adrian Rogers, who's gone on to heaven. But he said that we have to be engaged. He says, to be a good Christian, you have to be a good citizen as well. We are called to be good citizens, and we should engage in the public arena. And he said that we are to be civil lambs, not silent lambs. In other words, you don't have to act like this pastor who is literally screaming at his congregation. I haven't seen anything like that. The guy was literally screaming at his congregation. And at one point he said, if you own this Bible, there's something wrong with you. Well, okay. Look, here's the deal. First of all, it was a good price for a Bible, $60. If you look, most study Bibles that are that include, by the way, teachings from pastors, you know, a lot of these famous pastors have their so-and-so study Bibles. Okay, are those evil? Is that wrong? Just asking. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And by the way, those Bibles cost almost three times as much. We'll be right back. All right. Good to have you back with us, everybody. Let's get right to the phones. Mary Lynn in Minnesota wants to weigh in on the God Bless the USA Bible. Hi, Mary Lynn. All right, so I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, I think it's disgusting that people are criticizing President Trump for promoting a Bible. He didn't write the Bible. He's just promoting it. And he's right that most of the problems we have in America today are because people aren't reading the Bible and praying like they should. And we have two Bibles that include the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. One is the Patriot's Bible and one is the Founder's Bible. The Founder's Bible has articles included from David Barton, historical facts that show proof that America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. There, one's the King, the New International Version, and one's the New American Version. So they're not rewritten. The Bible is exactly the same. It just has extra things added. One of the articles tells about how the American Bible Society was founded because somebody bought Bibles and was handing them out, and everybody thought it was a great idea, and they formed a group to keep doing that. So I just, some of these pastors that think they're so high and mighty maybe ought to really concentrate on what the Bible's saying.
You know, Mary Lynn, I mean, if you're going to get down to the brass tacks here, okay, well, the concordance is not a part of the Bible. The maps in the back are, so are, you know, does that make the good book blasphemous? No, of course not. These are helps to, you know, for somebody who's reading the Bible.
Right. And I just flipped through the Founder's Bible before I called you, and one of the articles was about the importance of telling the truth. Well, God tells us to not to lie. So it's just because they don't like President Trump. There never was any backlash about the other two Bibles. And we paid way more for the Founder's Bible than the God Bless America Bible is selling for. We've had it for probably 10 years, maybe more, and we paid over $100 at that time.
Wow.
So they have there's no basis for their criticism.
No, I'm with you, and I just don't get it, but these pastors are not helping things. As a matter of fact, I think they're making things worse when they're telling their church members, you guys, there's no need for you to go and vote. You shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, where is that in the Bible? Unbelievable.
Exactly. No. In fact, we're encouraged to be involved. Jesus was involved in politics. We have a book about it.
There you go. All right, Mary Lynn, God bless you, and thank you for calling in. A wealth of knowledge today, everybody. By the way, just want to share some upcoming events. Tomorrow in Houston, Texas, on May 13th, I'll be in Gainesville at WDUN on the big book tour stop, then WSJS in North Carolina on May 23rd, May 24th. I'll be at WSIC in Statesville, and we're going to be sharing more about this a little bit later. All that to say, we're going to be busy. North Carolina GOP convention, I'll be speaking there on May 25th, as well as the Thrive Homeschool Conference. And then Sunday, May 26th, at the North Carolina Republican Party breakfast. So, whew, sweet mercy. I'm going to have to eat my Wheaties. Maybe drink some Red Bull, too. All right, folks, may I ask you a question? Are you getting tired of woke services like Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu? If you are, then may I suggest Newsmax Plus. It is now the fastest growing streaming service in America. You're going to be able to watch the Newsmax channel and Newsmax 2, which currently broadcast my TV show, The Todd Starnes Show. You're going to be able to get real news, informed opinion, and pretty awesome analysis from people like Dick Morris and Mike Huckabee. President Trump is also a big fan. And look, we cover all the big Trump rallies. We never censor President Trump like the big networks do. And the best part of it all, you can actually start a free trial right now. It costs absolutely nothing. All you have to do is go to NewsmaxPlus.com to register. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. You can download the app and start watching right now. Millions of people are watching Newsmax. I mean, the numbers are off the charts of people dropping the other cable channels and embracing Newsmax. And we just really appreciate all of that. So thank you for that. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking to State Representative Adam Morgan. You're not going to believe this. The federal government giving voter registration forms to non-citizens. He's got the scoop on that. Also, Jonathan Falwell from Liberty University is going to be here to talk about an incredible event that happened last week. You saw all this violence on university campuses. At Liberty, thousands of people coming out to worship the Lord. Wow, what a great story. Can't wait for that one. All right, hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926 is our number. This is The Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, well, hello everybody. So we're monitoring the situation over at Columbia University. The university gave the little urchins, the JV Hamas terrorists, until 2 o'clock to pack up their tents and get out of the yard. But that hasn't happened just yet. So we're keeping you updated on what happens next. Also, President Biden looking dazed and confused as hecklers shout thanks for nothing and blank you, Mr. President. A little impolite there. By the way, Biden's got the sunglasses on, so you can't see the confused look in his eyes. Did you watch, by the way, did you watch the White House Correspondents' Dinner over the weekend? They called that the nerd prom. It was bad. I mean, it was really, really bad. All the way around, it was just bad. It wasn't funny. It just wasn't funny. And all these journalists out there who think they're the bee's knees, it just wasn't good. Anyway, I watched it just in case somebody said something or Biden, you know, fell into his porridge or something, but nothing out of the ordinary happened there. All right, write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in this hour of the program, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Is the federal government giving voter registration forms to non-citizens? Well, our next guest has the answer to that question. He is a state representative from South Carolina running for Congress. He is chairman of the South Carolina Freedom Caucus, our good buddy Adam Morgan. Adam, good to have you back with us today.
Hey, Todd. Good to be with you.
All right. So I saw this item that you shared on X. So give us the lowdown. What's going on here?
Yeah, we're still investigating, trying to dig out exactly what happened and who gave it and what the circumstances are. But a refugee in South Carolina, they're from Ukraine, they were given a voter registration form by the government. They knew that she was not a citizen, and it was given in a packet. The question is, who gave it? We've had issues going back and forth with the individual and understanding. There's a bit of a language barrier and understanding exactly who it was. Initially, they said it was the Social Security office, and so I've been in contact. That's the Spartanburg one right here in the upstate of South Carolina. They said they don't give out the forms, but she also went to the Medicaid office. So it either came from the Social Security office or the Medicaid office, and it was in a packet with all these things about how they could potentially get benefits, and they needed to register to vote. And so this refugee is sitting there going, do I fill this out? Why do I do this? I'm not a citizen. And it's like, exactly. That's insane that the government is giving a voter registration form to an individual they know is a non-citizen. Well, the story gets worse. So somebody takes the form and mails it back to the Medicaid office and says, hey, they got this in a packet and think, you know, this must have been incorrect. They shouldn't be sending these out. Well, they mail them more voter registration forms literally like a week or two later. And so they knowingly are trying to get people to register to vote who they know are non-citizens. I mean, it's insane.
This is really shocking. And according to the form, it's very clear from the South Carolina Election Commission. It says voter registration form. If you are not registered to vote where you live now, would you like to apply to register to vote here? What I find interesting is there's no caveat here. You know, if you're a non-citizen, yeah, you're not allowed to know. This is all about not only getting them to sign up, Adam, but also that the decision will remain confidential.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we've got to fix that at the state level. We're already contacting and interacting with the election commission. That form should absolutely say, are you a U.S. citizen, yes or no? Because if not, you can't register to vote. It's that simple. But initially, the thinking was that this was the Social Security office and the federal government doing it, but it looks like it was actually the state government that is doing it upon further investigation. And the question is, how many states across our country are doing this? When somebody comes and signs up for benefits or comes to the government agency, they literally get a packet of information of how to register to vote. When everyone's saying it's not happening, you know, we're not having people that aren't citizens voting, well, actually, they're giving it to them in packets, and then when they return the forms, they send them more to aggressively try to get them to register. I mean, it's ludicrous that it's happening here in our country.
Adam, have you heard anything from the Election Commission, any explanation?
Not right now. I did hear from the Social Security office, who was the initial one that the lady had mentioned their name, that they do not give out these forms and that they don't have any record of anyone giving it out. So I believe that to be accurate, that it was not the Social Security office, that it was the Medicaid office, which is the state level. And so it looks like it's the state government that is actually giving these forms out. But I also, like as I mentioned, found out that it wasn't just a one-time thing. They literally aggressively sent more after they were corrected and informed that these were non-citizens.
Oh, this is insane. And you wonder how many people have actually taken advantage of this. And I would say it's not so much that these non-citizens are voting. It's that they may not even know that they can vote, and maybe somebody's voting on their behalf.
Yeah, exactly. Or I mean, in this lady's situation, she doesn't really know or care that much about the ins and outs of this. She just got a form and is like, am I supposed to fill this out? And so who knows how many of them just send it in, as you mentioned, and they get registered, and either then they think they can vote, or, yeah, is somebody else voting for them? Who knows? It needs to be locked down, stamped out. And we need to make sure states, I mean, this is South Carolina. This is a conservative state where they're doing this. Imagine what they're doing in other states.
Unbelievable. Again, folks, VoteAdamMorgan.com is the website, VoteAdamMorgan.com. Adam is one of the good guys, chairman of the South Carolina Freedom Caucus. He is a state legislator running to be the next congressman from that area. Adam, I know you've been getting so much blowback from your fellow Republicans, and it sounds like you guys are infested with a bunch of rhinos there in South Carolina.
Yeah, it's been a fight, but we're winning. I mean, you know, just in a couple years here in South Carolina, we passed constitutional carry, save women's sports. We've got budget transparency. We're trying to get, fight a lot of this corporate cronyism and welfare. They're pushing using our tax money to, you know, mess with the private sector and plan out using the government, the private sector. And, we've stood for bold conservative principles, and the state is better for it. And, you know, we need that exact fight in Washington to see House leadership repeatedly cave on these funding bills, funding late-term abortions and funding the invasion happening at the border, instead of sticking it to the Biden administration and fighting for our values. Like, we've got to elect better Republicans. And that's what I'm running on. Matt Gaetz came to my district this past week, and Ralph Norman and several others to stump for me, and they get it. We're on a mission to find strong conservative fighters, and we're in a battle for the soul of the Republican Party, and the conservatives better win it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. All right, we got to leave it there. Adam, give us the website one more time.
VoteAdamMorgan.com, and y'all check out and make sure that your state isn't given voter registration forms to people that are non-citizens. Yeah,
that's absolutely insane. All right, good catch there, and let's hope they put a stop to this. Adam, appreciate you calling into the show today.
Thanks for having me on.
Can you believe this, folks? This is South Carolina we're talking about, and thank goodness that Adam Morgan is on top of this, and he's exposing this nonsense. Because if it's happening in South Carolina, you better believe it's happening in other parts of the country as well. And that's why we've got to root all of this out, and we've got to expose this nonsense. Otherwise, they're going to steal another election. That's why we've got to speak out here. So anyway, good job for Adam Morgan. And you folks listening to us in South Carolina, you need to be calling the South Carolina or the South Carolina Voting Commission, and you need to be asking them some questions about this. And I'm curious to know, how many non-citizens have already registered to vote that we don't know about? How many? All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Well, I want to tell you about our good friends over at AMAC. And by the way, if you don't have to be a seasoned saint to join AMAC, even people Dylan's age, you could join AMAC if you want to. And by the way, they have some great discounts. You got to take advantage of those. AMAC.us/starnes is the website. That's AMAC.us/starnes. And you've got to take advantage of their election year sale. Here we go. 4 years for just $30. That's insane. But it is a terrific deal. 4 years for just $30. You're going to join over 2 million other Americans who have also joined AMAC. And let me tell you something. They're doing some incredible work. And the government, they cannot ignore the voice of AMAC. So check them out right now. AMAC.us/starnes. That's AMAC.us/starnes. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Good to have you with us. We are monitoring the situation at Yale, where the deadline has come and gone. And so far, I don't see any police cracking heads just yet. But then again, you know, I'm not even sure they're going to allow the police to do anything. I said Yale. I meant Columbia. So 2 o'clock, the deadline, and looks like there is a standoff. Oh, and here we go. This is from the reporting of Fox, is that now the Columbia University staff are uniting, and they are defying the president's directives to clear the grounds. So here's the deal. Fire their butts. Really, just fire all right now. Just fire them. Deactivate their key cards and just fire them. How difficult is that? So Fox News is reporting Columbia's feckless president has failed to follow through on her 2 p.m. deadline to clear the quad. Next stop, graduation ceremonies. You watch what's going to happen. They're going to cancel graduation like USC did. It's all very simple, ladies and gentlemen. Who are the grown-ups at Columbia University? And that's what we need. We need grown-ups, men and women, who will stand up and tell these little sniveling cowards, you go home now or you're gone. But they're not willing to do that. They're terrified of these students. But again, my philosophy here is expel the students, arrest them, charge them with trespassing, and fire all the staff. It's pretty simple. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? What would you do if you were president at Columbia University or Yale or USC? Oh, by the way, you know where we haven't seen protest? Vanderbilt University. You know why? Because the president, when the kids started to protest the first time, laid down the law. These schools are not for protesting, they're for learning. It's that simple. But what would you do if you were the president at Columbia University? How would you handle this? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Curious to hear your take on it. Jerry Seinfeld. Haven't heard much from Seinfeld. You know, back in the day, it was the show everybody had to watch. And Dylan, I know that you guys don't, it's hard to understand because you guys have like TikTok and all this other kind of stuff. But back in the day, before social media, we just had the TV. And we would watch these shows. And there weren't many shows to watch, so everybody watched Seinfeld. It was like a great show back in the day.
We watched shows.
It was about nothing. That was the whole point of it.
I like those shows.
So anyway, Seinfeld is one of the comedians. And, you know, back in the day, it used to be all the rage. If you were a comedian, you went to the university campuses, right? Because those were the young kids. You wanted to build an audience. And, you know, those were prized gigs back in the day. But unfortunately now, college kids don't have a sense of humor. I'm just curious, Dylan. Now you're getting ready to graduate. You're on the, what, 8-year plan?
Thanks. Yeah.
All right. So you're on campus. Is there a lot of laughter?
No, not on my campus. University of Memphis, no.
Are people afraid to, they're just afraid to tell a joke or?
Triggered too easily.
Oh,
you
yeah?
You can't offend anybody.
So you're white.
Yeah.
And you're straight.
Yep.
So, yeah, you got to watch your back.
I really do.
You can't really laugh at anything.
Got to zip my lips.
Yeah, got to stifle the chuckles.
That's right.
So anyway, Seinfeld is speaking out on the death of comedy. And I think that's the biggest problem in America. People have lost their sense of humor. I mean, that's really it. There was, if you go back in time, and now I know there are some old schoolers out there, and you'll appreciate this, like Sanford and Son, All in the Family, The Jeffersons. Do you really think they'd be able to make those TV shows nowadays? I mean, this was a time when you could talk about the hottest button issues of the day. You could talk about those things, and you could laugh about it. You could poke fun. You can't do that anymore. They really have sucked this is what the leftists do. They just suck the joy out of life like a giant Hoover vacuum cleaner. That's what they do. Anyway, here's Jerry Seinfeld, Cut 19.
It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to see stand-up comics because we are not policed by anyone. The audience polices us. We know when we're off track. Mm-hmm. We know instantly, and we adjust to it instantly. But when you write a script and it goes into 4 or 5 different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke, well, that's the end of your comedy.
And that's sad. I mean, that's really sad. For example, Caddyshack. Or, heaven forbid, Blazing Saddles. Pardon me while I whip this out. No, you can't. You can't talk like that anymore. They'll cancel you. That Blazing Saddles. Oh, my God. It. Dylan, have you seen Blazing Saddles?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you got to. This is what's so sad. This is what's sad about America.
I had The Office, Todd.
Okay, well, that's true, but you got to watch Blazing Saddles.
Okay, I'll take your word on that.
Blazing Saddles, Caddyshack. Have you seen Caddyshack? You got to watch Caddyshack.
Are these from the 60s?
What are they teaching you? This is like classic 70s. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, and white?
No, it's not black and white there. Oh, my word. It's in Technicolor, for crying out loud. Technicolor. What are they teaching the kids, ladies and gentlemen? This is tragic. All right, Dylan, we're gonna set you up. You got to watch Caddyshack. You got to watch Blazing Saddles. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have suggestions for important, culturally relevant movies that Dylan needs to watch, give us a call.
I'll get my VCR out.
All right, we're gonna help you out here. This may be my wedding gift to you. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan has not seen Blazing Saddles. He hasn't seen Caddyshack. What movies do you recommend? Oh, Anchorman. You got to watch Anchorman. That's a good one. All right, give us a call. Hang tight. We'll be right back, everybody. So at this moment, literally, this is happening in real time. We are watching faculty members at Columbia University forming a human barricade between themselves and the, well, you've got the students on one side and you've got the law enforcement on the other. The deadline has come and gone, and it looks as though the university administration has capitulated once again. So we'll keep you updated on any other developments there at Columbia. In the meantime, something very exciting happened last week at Liberty University. And of course, we have had a longtime partnership with Liberty. We have a number of their students working on the show, and they are some of the hardest, best working kids we've had. And they're just great, great students. Something very wonderful happened, and it should have been national news. I want to bring into the conversation the chancellor at Liberty University, also the pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church, our good friend Jonathan Falwell. Jonathan, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, good to be with you. Excited about all that God's doing at Liberty, and thrilled that you're a part of it.
Well, it's an honor, and it's so exciting to see the students graduating and going into journalism. And, you know, for me, that's a great passion, is to have, you know, a university like Liberty with such an incredible journalism program that's raising up that next generation of journalists who could maybe do some good things in these newsrooms.
Yeah, well, you know, my dad's passion was always to do everything that you do it with excellence. He said if it's Christian, it ought to be better. And so he wanted Liberty to be a place where whether you were training to be a doctor or a lawyer or a journalist or an educator or go into business or ministry, missions, whatever it might be, that you would always do it with a passion for excellence, a passion for being, you know, the absolute best with integrity and doing it with honor. And so that was his mission and vision from the very beginning, and we're still continuing to make that a reality today.
Raising up those champions for Christ, and I think it's
absolutely.
I think it's making an impact already in our country. And Jonathan, when you look at what happened, you know, last week and what's still happening on so many college campuses, the unrest, and I want you to tell our listeners what happened at Liberty last week.
Well, you know, every week at Liberty, we have the opportunity of gathering together on Wednesday nights for a voluntary worship service. We invite the students to come and to be a part of that. Obviously, they're not, you know, they're not made to do so. They're allowed to, you know, schedule their own time and do what they desire to do and what fits into their rhythms. But what happens every Wednesday night is thousands of young people come out and hear a message from the Word of God. We worship together. We celebrate together. And last Wednesday night, at the end of our semester, we actually we go outside on the lawn at Liberty. And so we had thousands of young people gathered out there for about a 2.5-hour worship service where you know, we worship together in music and we worship together in the Word. I brought a 20-minute message from the book of 3 John. That fourth verse in that passage says that I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth and recognizing our responsibility and our duty to walk in our faith and to live out what it is that God has called us to do. And, you know, clearly, as you just mentioned a moment ago, the contrast between what is taking place on so many other college campuses today where there is, you know, where there's anger and there's the protests and all of the things that are taking place, it's encouraging to me to see thousands of college-age young people coming together, and their mission, their passion, their heart is just to lift up the name of Jesus, and that's what we saw last Wednesday night.
When you go back and look at the history of education in America, it was for a primary reason, which was to teach Americans how to read the Bible. You had the Ivy League schools, Harvard, you know, their job, their mission was to train up preachers. And now you look at what's happening in so many of these schools around the nation. Where do you think things went off the tracks?
Well, I think you could go back and you could see markers throughout history where things changed, where, you know, schools changed, where governments changed, leaders changed, and they began to, you know, take the importance of the Word of God. They took God himself out of the classroom. They took, you know, the importance of learning about who he is and what he's done, our creator, going all the way back to the founding documents of our nation. And they took that out of the classroom because they felt like that was, you know, this false narrative of the separation of church and state. And by doing so, whenever you take God out of the conversation, when you ever take him out of the narrative, naturally things are going to go the wrong direction. My dad used to talk about liberty specifically, and he said, you know, if you ever take your hands off of the wheel and be deliberate in moving forward and walking and leading in a place that God leads us to go, anytime you take your hands off the wheel, the car's naturally going to veer. And what naturally happens in education, it naturally veers to the left. And that's what we've seen, is you take God out of the equation and you're going to be left with something that clearly is godless. And that's what we're seeing today.
So how do you encourage the students at Liberty? You know, they're many of them are graduating. And is it Senator Tim Scott? Is he the speaker this year? Is that right? I'm getting off on a tangent here. Okay.
No, Tim Scott's speaking at commencement next week.
Awesome. So these kids are graduating and they're going out into an economy that is very difficult right now. So many Generation Z kids are really struggling. What encouragement do you guys give these young graduates as they're about to try to start living their American dream?
Well, you know, our mission statement going all the way back is to train champions for Christ. And what that word champion really means is a person that no matter whether things are going well or whether things are going difficult, whether you're walking through difficult times or challenging times, that you always recognize and understand the calling that God has placed on your life. And whether that calling is into ministry or whether it's into business or education, politics, whatever it might be, that you always keep focused, always continue to move forward, running after that which God has called you to do. Now, obviously, the scripture very clearly tells us that we're going to face times when we're going to face persecution, when we're going to walk through difficult times. But what we do is we don't get discouraged. We don't throw up our hands and quit. What we recognize is we count it all joy when we face those temptations, when we face those persecutions, those trials and tribulations, because we know that that is what God uses to grow us, to perfect us, to shape us into what he wants us to be, to make us stronger, to make us better. And so that's what we teach, you know, the students at Liberty from day one, is how to persevere and how to lean into your own faith, to own your faith, to not simply, you know, walk in your faith because maybe your parents did or your grandparents did, but to own it for yourself and to recognize that God has a plan for you, that God has called you to something, to find that calling, and then to be the very best at whatever it is that God has called you to do, and to do it with integrity, to do it with honor. And that's what being a champion for Christ is all about.
I think this is terrific and so refreshing to hear. And I know there must be people out there listening, and maybe they're looking for a way to support what you guys are doing at Liberty. Is there a website? Are there ways for people to help out, give money, make donations, things of that nature?
Well, of course, there's always a way to do that in any type of ministry and organization like we have. Liberty.edu is our website, and certainly we would love to connect with as many people as possible. We have, you know, nearly 16,000 students on campus right now, well over 100,000 students online, 400,000-500,000 alumni around the world today that are making an impact, making a dent in the universe, as it will, as you might say, to impact for the gospel. And so, yeah, we absolutely firmly believe God has called us to such a time as this. And while the world might be going crazy, we're going to stay focused and fixed on what it is that God has called us to do.
I just think that's so noble. I didn't realize it was that many people. That explains the traffic jams out there on that main road.
Well, it definitely has grown. And again, I think the growth at Liberty is something that we're seeing not only at Liberty, but in a lot of other great Christian universities in our country because of what parents are seeing taking place on, you know, public college campuses, state universities, the places that, you know, what we're seeing in the news, what you were reporting about just a moment ago. Clearly, parents want their kids, if they're going to invest money to, you know, have their students and their children go to learn a career, to learn a path, to, you know, to walk into that setting. I mean, they want to make sure they go to a place that their kids can, the parents can trust, to make sure their kids in a place where, you know, the faculty cares about them and the faculty is going to instill in them the values that has made America great. And that's what Liberty and a lot of other Christian universities, that's why we're seeing such growth today, is because of what we're seeing in the news happening in a lot of other college campuses today.
You know, that is a great point. You know, my parents were old school. Had I done something like that, Mom and Dad would have been up at the school yanking me out of that mess. So
mine would too, but you knew my dad, so you knew exactly what he would have done.
Yeah, yes, yeah, absolutely. Well, Jonathan, we're going to leave it there. And again, we're just so excited to see what's happening at Liberty and how refreshing and encouraging that was to, I suspect, millions of people around the country. And so just keep doing it and keep making those champions for Christ out there.
Well, that's what our mission is, and we'll do it until Jesus returns.
All right. Jonathan Falwell, everybody, Chancellor at Liberty University, also the pastor at Thomas Road Baptist Church there in Lynchburg, Virginia. Jonathan, thank you. All right, good man right there, folks, and so exciting. But, you know, that is a great point. Where are all the moms and dads, right? I haven't seen a one showing up there and jerking a knot. And you know what I'm talking about here, folks, right? If you grew up, if you're a certain age, you know that if you were behaving, and we call it acting the fool, if you were acting the fool out in public, you better believe that mama would have been there and she would have been jerking a knot at you with a belt or a cast iron skillet. I'm just saying. Old school. All right, let's go to, we can work in a phone call here. Let's go to Barry in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, Barry, what's on your mind?
Well, I've been watching and listening about these protests, and it's ironic that May 4th, 1970, I had to look it up, is when they had the Kent State shootings with the National Guard, and I'm sure that's entering in a little bit too, to them wanting to break up these things. But I was in school at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, which is about 3.5 hours north of Memphis, and we were having protests in the evening on the Vietnam War. But I never remember talking about wanting to kill people or anything like that. It was kind of the opposite. We wanted to get out of the war. And shortly after the Kent State shootings, we had a big rally down at the main intersection of Highway 51 and Highway 13, and the state police broke it up because we weren't allowed to be blocking the highway and also the Illinois Central City of New Orleans train. And there was quite a bit of damage to the downtown, and the next day, the university shut down for the rest of the year. And my grade report had 18 hours of pass. But you either have pass or fail, and that was the end of the school year. So, you know, it's ironic that 54 years later, almost to the day, we have these protests, but it's much different to me when you're talking about killing Jews, killing people. It makes no sense that you're talking about killing people to stop the fighting.
Well, Barry, I will say this, you know, going back to Kent State, and you're right, there have been a lot of comparisons to Kent State. A lot of people just assume that the National Guard, if you listen to mainstream media narratives, that the National Guard just spontaneously opened fire on an innocent group of kids that were running away, when in fact that was not the case at all, that there were violent fights and clashes, and that the reason why the National Guard was summoned to campus in the first place is because the anti-war protesters had actually burned down the ROTC building. I mean, this was a level of violence that was off the charts. Also, they're saying that, you know, all of the people who died were shot in the back. No, that's not accurate. Only one person was. So again, you can have that debate about whether or not the National Guardsmen should have fired into the crowd. But there was, I mean, this was a war zone. And by the way, all you folks wanting to, you know, saying, oh, we've got to call in the National Guard. Well, understand when you do that, these kinds of things could happen. The National Guard is not your local police department. All right. So understand that. Barry, appreciate that call. And thank you. Thank you for listening. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, we're getting some breaking news here that there has been a shooting in Charlotte, North Carolina, that a number of police officers have been wounded. This is actually coming from the reporting of the New York Post. We'll check in to see what other information we can find. This is an active shooter situation in a suburban neighborhood outside of Charlotte. So you folks in the Statesville area might have some intel on this. We understand that SWAT teams have been dispatched, but this is an ongoing situation. And all they're telling us now is that people are advised to stay out of the area and that multiple people have been taken to the hospital. So we'll check in on that and get right back to you. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, we are following the breaking news. And that breaking news from Charlotte, North Carolina, where multiple police officers have been shot. There has been some sort of an active shooter situation there. And we will keep you updated on any information there in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. But a very, very sad story to bring to you right now. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Kansas. Barbara is hanging out with us. Hi, Barbara. How are you today?
Well, Todd, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. Thank you for asking.
Let me tell you, I hate to follow that news with this, but I have to tell you, you are so dang funny. I love listening to your radio. When I'm in, I couldn't remember the call numbers. It's KQAM here in Wichita, Kansas. But you remind me a lot of Rush. I mean, you just absolutely cracked me up. And I have a movie for you.
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind compliment. And we love all of our great listeners over at KQAM. You know, they carry the show delayed. So we're live noon to three. So I'm glad you were able to call in on the live show.
Well, I'm on Twitter.
Awesome.
I'm listening to you on Twitter.
I love it.
I get you wherever I can. But my show is Airplane.
Oh, Dylan, have you seen Airplane, Dylan?
No, I haven't.
Let me tell you, there's a line in there, so if you want to bleep me out, bleep me out. But I love that show. And that little old girl, do you know the scene where that little girl is in the plane and the attendant person, whatever, comes by and she asks her how she wants coffee and how do you like your coffee?
You can say it, Barbara, and if we have to bleep, we'll bleep, but we don't mean any offense by it.
No, there's no cuss word. She said black, like my men, and there's a black guy sitting right by her. And it's so funny.
Well, remember, Leave It to Beaver's mom was in that. Barbara Billingsley. My.
Yes.
And so they had two black guys on the plane, and they were, anyway, nobody could understand what the black eyes were saying. Dylan, are you paying attention here?
I am.
All right. And so anyway, Barbara Billingsley goes up to the flight attendant and she says, pardon me, I speak jive. And then she starts talking jive to the black guys.
You know what? I do. You know what? I'm going to have to go back and watch that movie. I'd say 99% of the whole dialogue you wouldn't be able to hear today.
It's true. You're 1,000% correct. And Barbara, that is such a shame because there was a time when we could all laugh at ourselves. Black guys, white guys, Hispanic guys, it is what it is. So, hey, Barbara, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. But thank you for calling in. Thanks for the kind words. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being a part of our great show today. Tomorrow, Ben Dieter is making his debut performance. So you guys be nice to Ben. He's going to do a great job for you. I'm heading to Houston. I'll see you folks in Texas tomorrow.